First of all, I want to welcome Rory, and I know we're talking about your retirement, but delighted to have you on the GAA programme. And tell me, how big a decision was it?
I suppose it was a huge decision, Tom. One that I didn't really take lightly. You know, I'd been thinking about it and stewing over it for the guts of 12 months. I suppose back in 2013, we were beaten heavily by Mayo and Croke Park, and there was a lot of soul searching done after that and whether I'd come back or not. And, you know, Michael and a few of the older players got together and we said we didn't really want to be remembered as that team. Then it went out and got hammered by Mayo. So we decided to come back the following year. And in my mind, I was always building it as being my final year in the jersey, you know. And you know, it was something I'd talked over with my wife Catherine and my mum and dad and the rest of my family members, and you know, they were supportive in my decision, and you know, I've done it more so for family commitment, more so than anything else, really, Tom. Mm-hmm.
But having said that, given the year that Donegal had and came so tantalisingly close to another All Ireland, it must have been tempting maybe to maybe stay on for one more year.
Listen, you know, those thoughts were going through my head, surely, and, you know, we had a lot of people coming, asking me, listen, would you not reconsider and give it one more year? And surely that idea does go through your head, and, you know, the fact that I was so close to that group of players, it makes it extra hard to walk away in the end. But I just felt in my own heart, deep down inside, and I don't know really how to explain it, but it was just something that I'd felt in my heart that it was the right thing to do, and I've always relied on my instinct and my gut, and my gut was telling me that this is the time to go.
And what has been the reaction since last Thursday, since the news broke?
Listen, you know, I've been receiving text messages, emails, letters, and from people, you know, just wishing me good luck, and I've been very grateful. Teammates, you know, all sending nice messages, and it's really nice to get those from boys you've been shouldering with for the last number of years, and you know, players that would have played with in the past as well. You know, send me good wishes and things. So it's really nice to get that, you know. Listen, I'm on the other side of the fence now, looking in, and I'll just be wishing the boys the best of luck now for the coming season.
Well, you walk away with literally every honour in the game. I suppose the only one that eluded you was the personal individual one, the All-Star. You have an All-Ireland, three Ulsters, a National League. You know, it's something I'm sure it was beyond your wildest dreams when you started out.
Oh, definitely. Listen, we were happy to win an Ulster Championship game, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. And our fortunes, you know, in the last four have definitely just spiralled out of control, you know, out of our own wildest expectations. So, you know, as testament, I suppose, to the group of players and Jim and everybody else in the backroom staff, that the work that they've done with us, that we're now, you know, competing at the top table. We're looking for provincial titles, we're looking for national titles, and, you know, it's a great place that Donegal football's in at the minute.
Hmm. And we obviously want to dwell on that a little bit later, about the last 4 years and that, shall we say, great run with those three Ulsters and that one All-Ireland and kick of a ball or the width of a post away from maybe another All-Ireland. But talk to me first about the early years. What, 2001 was it? You came out of minor into senior, was it?
Yeah, I was involved in the under-21s with, and Mickey Moran was the managing the under-21s, and he had called me up into the senior panel. I think we were beaten by Cavan in the under-21 semi-final that year, and joined up with the senior panel. And listen, it was fantastic when you're a young player like that. You always want to get a call up into the senior squad and see what the environment is like. And you know, I was no different. I had a couple of club mates in there, and Brendan Devaney and Mark Crossan and things like that who were in the panel. And you know, it was great to just come in and just experience that setup, the training. you know, with the older players. And, you know, Mickey was one of these coaches. He was a very sort of technical coach. He did a lot of stuff with the ball. And he had John Morrison and working along with him. And I suppose John was, you know, his approach to the game was somewhat off the cuff. You know, he challenged your
thinking. Bit ahead of his time, was he? Maybe?
Definitely. Listen, he definitely challenged you about the thinking, the way you thought about the game. And a lot of his methodologies would have been, you know, as you say, way ahead of his time. And I enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed just fresh approach. And I really enjoyed Mickey's training and things like that. You know, it definitely improved me as a player. And, you know, when you're playing alongside the likes of the boys I mentioned, and, you know, you're playing with Brendan and Adrian Sweeney and these boys inside, you always felt that if those two boys clicked, you know, that you could win any game. So we had very, very talented players. Like, you know, the team was littered with talented players, and probably, you know, would have been unfortunate that we were coming up against really, really good Armagh teams and really good Tyrone teams.
And a good Dublin team as well.
And a good Dublin team in the quarter final that year. So, yeah, listen, we were unlucky, you know, that we came up against those, but I suppose too.
That team got a bit of a reputation as well, didn't it, as a party team, didn't it? Maybe fairly or unfairly.
Listen, that was out there, and it was maybe warranted in a way. some of the antics that were going on sometimes, particularly after that drawn game, you know, that goes down and for
with
me
with
now,
Dublin.
Yeah, with Dublin. Yeah, that's been,
it was a pretty empty bus coming back from Dublin that night.
It was. I don't know if there was even three or four players on it, but. Listen, I don't know.
You weren't sitting up at the front either, were you?
I wasn't. A few people that asked me, was I on the bus home? And no, unfortunately, I wasn't on the bus either. But listen, it was, I don't know, it was maybe part of the culture in the county at the time. It was just something that was done. You celebrate it. Donegal celebrated.
Or drowned your sorrows.
Or drowned your sorrows. And, you know, it was... looking back in it was crazy, like trying to win championship games. And I think the whole, you know, the representing your county was lost, and maybe us young boys at the time completely lost, you know.
But you were influenced by older people?
Listen, we were easily led, you know. I see the young fellas coming in nowadays, and Paddy McBrearty and young Ryan McHugh and these boys, and the head screwed on the shoulders, like they're very level headed, you know. You know, Paddy doesn't take a drink, and, you know, the real professional attitude with them, you know. And I see a huge difference, like, compared to what we were like at that age. Like, we were running around mad, and that was probably the bottom
line.
Some
of the older fellas were running mad too, I think.
maybe so.
Anyway, moving on, was that probably the difference, as Paddy O'Shea says, the grain of rice that maybe made the difference in tipping the scale, maybe between maybe success, real success, and not making the breakthrough against Dublin that time, you know, not breaking the breakthrough against Armagh?
Probably. I don't, you know, I had my eyes open completely in the last 4 years, and in terms of how you can push your body and how hard you can work both on the field and away from the training field, you know. I think really we had our eyes open there in the last 4 years of what we can achieve when everybody's willing to put the shoulder to the wheel. I don't think back then we really trained overly aggressive. You know, we didn't play maybe with an age, systems, game plans, all these words, these new words that have come into the vocabulary in recent years, you know.
We didn't
really know how to cope with any of that. And
did you find some of the teams you were playing against were using that language and that?
Probably. You look at Armagh, they're a real methodical team. They had a very structured way of playing. You know, they're big, physical. They like to impose their style of play. You know, they came with an attitude almost. They you know, they were physically imposing, as I said, and, you know, they were very, very, it was sometimes it was just, you knew they were going to break you down. You know, they had that mentality, that they had that inner belief that, you know, that they were going to win the game. And I think, you know, they said if you got stuck into Donegal, they'd roll over and die. And, you know, we probably did that invariably in a few too many games against them.
Mm. You mentioned Mickey Moran. He was one of many managers. There was Brian McInniff, Brian McIver, and of course, Jim McGuinness, John Joe Doherty. You have put quite a few through your hands.
Yeah, listen, and you learn so much from all of them. And, you know, you have to thank every one of them for when they come in to manage a team. It's no easy feat. And, you know, I think, you know, under Brian, then I kind of took off to America for a year.
Brian McInniff.
I went away to Boston and spent a summer over there and came back the following year. But I was kind of in and out of the squad and in and out of the team and probably really didn't commit myself fully to it, you know. And it wasn't really then till Brian McIver came on the scene that he gave me my first championship start. So that's when my career probably took off then.
2006.
So, you know, although a great time for Brian, I thought we were moving in the right direction with Brian.
You won a National League.
Won a National League against Mayo in 2007. And, you know, I thought we were making progress. You know, we had Ryan Porter, who's now in and working with Monaghan, who was I'd rate very highly as a trainer and strength and conditioning coach. So I thought we were making progress, you know, and unfortunately the way things ended up with Brian and the way he was probably treated, it left a very sour taste in my mouth. I wasn't happy about it. And
I know that hurt you, but, and especially just your own club was one of the clubs.
Yeah, listen, it upset me deeply, really, because I knew nothing about it. I knew nothing about this.
Is it true that Brian rang you to ask you about it?
Brian rang me and he said, I'm after coming out of a meeting there where one of your club members have stood up and more or less told them that it would take a Donegal man to achieve something with the team. And it was a hurtful comment for him because I knew the efforts that he had gone to and the work that he was putting in every day at training and things like that. And that was a hurtful comment. And then for him, he may have thought that I was in on it, and, you know, that's why the phone call took place. But I had to, you know, tell him I knew nothing about it. And it was an upsetting time, you know, for me that my own club would be associated with that.
Mm. You know, 2007, you won a National League title under Brian, beat Mayo in the All-Ireland final. And funny, it didn't kick off then in the championship. Sure, it didn't after that for some reason.
No, we I don't know whether we put such an emphasis on the league and trying to really establish ourselves as a top team in the league. I don't know whether that took an effect on our championship preparations, but we never seemed to peak at all.
Was it Monaghan that year?
It was Monaghan one of the years, and then it was Derry another year that under Brian that we lost to. So, yeah, it was unfortunate, you know. We never seemed to, you know, get over that first game, and that first game is an important game in Ulster, you know, because you get over it, and the next thing the momentum builds and things like that. But that was unfortunate for us, unfortunate for Brian as well, because, as I said, I thought he was a very good manager.
And then John Joe Doherty came, and there was all kinds of controversy about that appointment. You know, Charlie McGrew, your own club man, and Declan Bonner, and Jim McGuinness was in for the job. And before we talk about John Joe's turn, does that get to the players? Does that, you know, when you hear all this and hear Sean Doherty talking to Brian McInniff and John Joe Doherty on the live on the radio on the morning programme?
It does. Listen, you know... Donegal always seemed to be, you know, washing their dirty clothes in public. So it definitely didn't help the players. You know, it was people were looking in and were asking me, and I was getting phone calls and texts, what's going on in Donegal? And, you know, doesn't look good when you can't keep these things private and appointments private, and, you know, all sorts of rumours coming out, and who's talking behind, who's sticking the knife into who, and it wasn't good. Like, you know, things should have been handled a lot better, and certainly it probably had Donegal football in a state of disarray for a couple of years, you know, and John Joe ended up coming in and getting
that
the job.
That make it more difficult for him, did it?
It must have. It had to have. Like, you know, coming in like that there and under those cloud of controversy, it couldn't have been good. Like, in fairness, he tried to steady the ship, you know, but it was...
Because John Joe was a respected player. You would have, when you came into the squad, he was still playing, wasn't he?
He had made me captain in 2009, and it was a great honour for me to captain the team. And but again, you know, our performances on the field almost reflected or mirrored the way things were being run off it, and that there was no real stability from the top down. And I don't know, like, it couldn't have been beneficial for a manager coming in.
Was Cross Midland in the qualifiers the low point?
You know, I'd considered in 2010 just packing it in because, you know, it was a low time. And I remember, you know, it was my wife's birthday, and I remember going back, and that was after the Armagh, the game in Cross Maglen, and we're having a birthday party for her in the house. And the following Tuesday's paper, that was us out of the championship, and my dad, and the following Tuesday's one of the local press were saying, and you know, how the embarrassment of the defeat and how we had let the county down, and then by the way, what right had one of the players to be going celebrating that night? And when I read it, I thought, Jesus Christ, I said, this is it, I'm gone, I've had enough of this, you know. Things were getting personal, you know, and I thought, nah, it's not worth it. So definitely considered the whole playing aspect after that. And I suppose then, you know...
I bet you're glad you didn't. Four years on.
Listen, this is it. It's funny how, you know, these things can just, you know, fall into place. It really is, you know. Up until that point, your career was going nowhere, really.
Talk to me about Jimmy Guinness. What was it about him? Because, you know, he was one of the lads. He was on the bus, or he wasn't on the bus coming from Dublin back in 2001 or whatever, 2003 was it, or whatever. A huge transformation.
A huge, you know, I suppose the whole meeting in Rosapenna was well documented, and we really had a great meeting. And I'd met actually with Jim in the Clannery Hotel just before the beginning of the 2011 season, and he more or less talked to me about where I was at, and he wanted me to cut the ties, let's say, with the Letterkenny nightlife and things like this, and then really, you know,
burn the boat, in other words.
Listen, he says, you know, where do you want your career to end up? And he put it to me in very simple terms, and you know, part of me actually thought to myself, Christ, this is what I need, you know, this is what I've been crying out for, almost like a sergeant major coming in telling you this is the way it's going to be, if you don't like it, you're gone. So you know, we bought into it, and he was telling me that, you know, you're going to be in the gym five mornings a week, and you're going to be working on strength and conditioning, and that was the way it was going to be from August up until December. It's going to be five mornings a week, and you need to buy into it. You need to put on as much bulk as possible. He had identified that he wanted me to play in midfield. I suppose up until then I was sort of half forward and things like that. So, you know, I'd no problem buying into it. We all did, and you know, that he was very convincing very, very convincing.
That takes some commitment, five mornings a week in a gym before you go to school, whatever.
Well, that was, but I suppose we hadn't been, that aspect of our training had been neglected, you know, and he just said, listen, you're going to reap the rewards later on in the season if you buy into this. And you know, we've proved right in the long run.
And of all the highs, I suppose 2012 was the high, was it? But there was big steps along the way.
There was, you know, just, you know, many victories along the way, and just all the hard work. And
the first game in Antrim, against Antrim in the championship, strangely enough, I know from speaking to Jim and speaking to Michael Murphy beforehand, you were very wary about that because you hadn't won a game in something like, what, 4 years? In
yeah, we're very, very cautious about that one. And, you know, we were slated afterwards, and it was the only game on in Ireland, a football game that weekend. And it was just the media scrutiny that we got after that was a wee bit over the top. But anyway, we didn't pay too much attention to it. He kind of had outlined his vision, if you want to call it that, that he was going to go defensive, and he was going to make sure that we were not going to concede, and we were going to be competitive in every single game, and you know, if we were economical in front of the post, that we would be well in games. And we managed to get our way through to the Ulster final, and that probably victory over Derry was huge for us, because, you know, the first Ulster title in a good few many years, and that gave us huge belief then going down to Croke Park.
Yeah, and obviously it rolled on from there, obviously to Croke Park, and, you know, that famous game against Dublin, you know, the late point from Kevin Cassidy against Kildare in the extra time, wasn't it, in Croke Park, and then Dublin in the All-Ireland semi-final.
Yeah, you know, just brilliant memories, really. You know, you think back in every single season, they were just fantastic memories that you'll always look back on and treasure. And you know, it was just testament to the amount of work that went in such a short space of time, and the fact that everybody bought into it, and the group were just really, really honest. Mm-hmm. You know, they were really mm-hmm. honest to the core, and embraced the hard work, and had an appetite for hard work, and never.
Obviously, you had great belief in your own ability, because you had been a great underage player. You had played one in McLaren with St. Junan's, went to an All Ireland B Colleges final. You know, you'd competed against the top. Did you have the belief in those around you?
I did then. You know, when you look at under 21s and the caliber of player that was coming through, you know, unfortunately they lost in the final, but that gave us a real shot in the arm when you seen the likes of those fellas that were coming through from the underage ranks, and the attitude that they had, and the appetite that they had for pushing the thing on. It definitely made our squad a lot better.
And talk to me, we're coming near the end, Rory, talk to me about some of the great players you played with, and some of the great players you played against, some of the great players you played against, and maybe even some of them you're friends with.
Listen, it's hard to name, you know, all the great players we've played against. There were so many over the years. You know, you look down at all the great Armagh teams and the great Tyrone teams. You could go through all of those. Like, you know, it was, that Tyrone team was probably the best of its era, you know. And them and Armagh ding-dong battles. And throughout my early career, it was coming up against them boys, and for me it was like you know, men against boys a lot of the time, Tom. And thankfully then, as we progressed, we managed to get up to a level where we were becoming the main team, and you know, even though I was reaching the end of my career almost, you know, to be involved with the players that I was involved with, you know, you look at Michael Murphy there, I don't think you can ask for a better leader for a county. He's an example, you know, boys follow him.
For one so young,
and you know, I think he's just an unbelievable person as well as footballer, you know, and he'll be the leader of the county for as long as he wants, you know.
And I suppose, as you mentioned at the outset, hard to walk away from those guys.
Without a doubt, that banter that you have in the dressing room, and you know, the closeness of our room with Big Neil there, and for the last 4 years, and me and him would be very close, and great friends on and off the field, and saying
maybe except on county final days,
yeah, maybe. So listen, saying cheerio to all them fellas is very hard, you know, but it's just something you kind of have to go on and get on with now, and you have different...
As you've reflected, no doubt, as you have done over the last 4 or 5 days, what's the one memory that keeps coming back to you?
I can't put one memory, you know, I've just so many. Just probably, you know, the final in 2012, you know, the realisation that you have won the All-Ireland, you know, especially I can appreciate it where you think there's just no way in hell that we're going to win an All-Ireland, to suddenly, you know, getting there and getting over the line is probably the standout memory. But, you know, so many, many memories along the way that have been absolutely unbelievable.
And any regrets?
I still find it hard to stomach. I'm still sore about that All-Ireland final last year, but it's not a regret, really. Listen, we just didn't perform on the day. And I know the boys will be still sore about that, you know, from talking to them and from meeting up with them and having a cup of tea and coffee. I know they're still sore about that, and I know that they'll be looking to try and put that right this year in 2015.
And what next? I know you're taking to the airwaves, is it? Or you're going straight into the TV studios, I think.
It's warmer in there. I got a wee bit of work with Setanta.
For the National League.
For the National League. So I'll be covering a few games, a few of the Donegal games and a couple other ones. So looking forward to it, looking forward to getting in, see how it works behind the scenes and gaining a wee bit of experience at that side of things as well. So, yeah.
And in terms of in the future, obviously you're going to still play with St. Junan's. Is management coaching something that's...
I wouldn't rule it out. When you're involved with football all your life and it's a big part of my life, and I'd find it probably very hard to walk away from it. So, no, I wouldn't rule it out at some stage in the future.
Yeah, and obviously you have a lot of time to fill now as well. The golf is going to improve, is it?
Definitely be looking to get in the handicap rolling down now. The boys are always slagging me, you know, playing off a ladies' handicap there. So, so I'll try and get that down.
So you leave the stage with great memories and a bag full of trophies as well, and no regrets, as you said, except for last year's All-Ireland.
I think maybe that would be a regret, but you can't have it all your own way.
Rory, thanks a million.
Thank you, Tom.